Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to Overnight America. Any football fans not thrilled for the Super Bowl this year? Being that we are in the St. Louis area, 2:06 here in the AM, 3:06 over on the East Coast, we are live. So you can call in. Are you excited for this matchup? It's going to be the Rams and the Patriots. People hate the Patriots. What a nail biter with the Chiefs here. But the Rams, after they left to Los Angeles, from what I understand and what everyone told me, I wasn't here when it happened, but everyone ripped the stuff off the walls and said, I'm done with this. I'm done with these guys. They left, and that started it all. Well, now that they're in the Super Bowl, are you going to root for them? Are you hoping they lose? Is it the lesser of two evils because you hate the Patriots so much? 314-436-7900 is the number. Let me get to Jack over in Brighton. Hey, Jack, what's going on?
Hey, Ryan. I just wanted to tell you, I am not against the Rams.
Hmm. Why not?
I remember when they left. Okay, I hated to see him leave. The team didn't leave. The owner took the team away.
Mm-hmm.
And the Rams still have players that were here then that were the St. Louis Rams that I root for and cheer for.
You and I, someone told me, Brad Choate, who does the news here, and this is the argument he brings up. Have you seen any of those Rams players that played here in St. Louis come back and do anything for the city? I can't think of any. I mean, they're not involved with the charities.
Chris Long used to, but I don't know if he still does.
But he's not. I mean, he's even playing still. Is he in Philadelphia?
Yeah, he's with the Eagles now. Yeah.
But I mean, there are some former players that still contribute. Can you think of any Rams players that were in a Rams jersey here in St. Louis, now playing in Los Angeles, that still have ties to the local community? You don't see it.
No, I can't think of one.
Yeah. To me, that was a pretty good point. I thought, you know what? They gave up on us. I know as the players, that's unfair to say because they had no control over that decision. They gave up, though. And it leaves a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths.
I have to give you that. I agree with that. But I still root for some of these people. I would like to see them do good in their careers because they did not have any say in what the ownership, Mr. Kroenke, did.
That's true. No, that's true. Hey, thanks, Jack. Good to hear from you.
Thanks, Ryan.
Right.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, let me play this real quick, and I want to get some of your calls. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. After the game, Terry Bradshaw. Listen to how Terry Bradshaw was interviewing Kroenke.
Well, I'm in a victorious locker room here with the You Got It Los Angeles Rams and with their owner, Dan Kroenke. Mr. Kroenke, I'd like...
Ooh, wait, did you catch that? Listen.
Dan Kroenke.
Ooh, Dan Kroenke. You know what else did you see during the radio coverage that, who was it? I think it was Kurt Warner was being interviewed as part of the radio coverage and accidentally called him the St. Louis Rams. A couple of broadcast flubs. Oh, Greg calling in. Hey, Greg, what's going on?
Good morning. Is it cold out there or what? I'll tell you what.
Terrible. I know.
Well, I have a comment, and I hope that the St. Louis fans can follow me on this. I love the Rams when they came. Miss Frontieri, she was very great to us, very gracious. And the ideas when they left, I was heartbroken too. But I never hated the Rams for leaving. But I did not like Stan Kroenke for leaving. He's the crux of the problem. So therefore, I will always support the Rams. I love the Rams. I certainly hope they win, but at the same time, I certainly hope it's a good football game. Yeah. No one gets hurt.
This is, a lot of people see this as lesser two evils today because they hate the Patriots and they don't know what to do.
Oh, really? They hate the Patriots?
Oh, really?
Patriots.
What's that? Are you asking?
I don't hate the Patriots.
Oh, you don't?
No, I think I just want to see a good football game. Have some buffalo wings. Have a great time with some friends. Mm-hmm. My goodness, it's a game, people.
Oh, buffalo wings sound about right. The quarterback for the Chiefs, I really don't watch the NFL. Believe it or not, this is probably the first game I actually watched this year was the Chiefs taking on the Patriots. And that was my first chance to see Mahomes. Is he the quarterback for the Chiefs? That dude.
Oh, my gosh, he's great.
You know, after Brady and Drew Brees are off the scene, he's going to dominate quarterback position in the league for decades. I could not believe how strong an arm this guy had and how accurate it was. It was like watching Joe Montana or something. It was unbelievable.
And he did it off balance. Did you ever see that?
He is unbelievable. God, yeah. So, you know what? Kansas City Chief fans, you have a huge future in him. So that's just an observation. All right. Good to hear from you, Greg. Thanks for calling in.
Have a great day.
Let me get to Vincent. Hey, Vincent, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on? Yeah, I used to live in L.A. when I was a little kid, but then we moved out here, and we've always been a big fan of the Rams. I can't wait to see them win the Super Bowl. I'm actually delivering pizza, probably for the Super Bowl, so I'm going to have to listen to it on the radio like I did today.
Oh, you're going to be out there.
What an up. That was awesome. I tell you what, here, and they made a 58-yard field goal. That's unbelievable, and now they're going to the Super Bowl. Everyone I knew, they were saying, oh, they're not going. They're not. Calm down, Vincent.
Yeah,
they're not going to the Super Bowl. I said they're going.
I'm surprised your voice isn't out right now from all the screaming and yelling. But have you delivered pizza for other Super Bowls in the past?
Oh, last year I did Super Bowl pizza delivery, yeah. It was amazing. Made a lot of money.
I bet you did. How much of a demand were you in?
Oh, quite a bit. I mean, just the second you get back to the store, you got another 3 deliveries you need to take out there, and you need to do it quick because people want that pizza. They want it fresh.
Yeah, I bet. Do you feel like this is a good night to work, or do you dread it?
Oh, this night tonight, it wasn't actually too bad. The other night when it was coming down real heavy, that was a night to deliver, and I tell you what. But, you know, all of us drivers, we drive safe. We take it slow. Well, not too slow because we got to get pizza there on time. But
it's 2 a.m. Are there pizza places still open?
Some of us are, yeah. I mean, the one I work at, we're open till 2 on Saturday and Friday, but we close at 1. And I was just getting some Hardee's on the way home, and, you know, I heard the question. I'm like, well, hell, I'll call in on the radio. That's awesome. 2 a.m., right on.
Man, I haven't been to Hardee's in a while. That sounds pretty good right about now. All right.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait to be eating chicken wings on the Super Bowl like that last guy was talking about. That guy knows what's up. He's probably going to order from us.
I'll be working. It's a Sunday night. You know, I worked last year it, but, you know, I don't get into it, so it doesn't bother me working. I'll probably watch some of it here in the studio with whoever happens to be working that night, and maybe I'll bring some chicken wings or something in. All right. Hey, good
sometimes
to hear from you, Vincent.
I get to catch it on a customer's TV, but, yeah, good to hear from you, too. You have a great night.
You, too. Bye.
And go Rams.
Ooh. Not a lot of people are willing to say go Rams here. There's a lot of hate for the Rams. I'm not particularly a fan of them. You know, it's one of those things. It's like, you know, the fans didn't leave the Rams. The Rams left the fans. I think that there's a distinction there, even if it was the ownership. Just real quick before we go to break, I wanted to play this because it's sports related. Did you see the comments from Chris Bryant, Chicago Cubs? They were doing this little interview deal. It's called Friday Nights with Ryan Dempster, late night style talk show with the former Cubs pitcher. And Chris Bryant was on the program. Maybe I'll save that. Yeah, you know what? I'll save it coming up next because it goes to show you people are actually happy to be here in St. Louis. You hear that, Kroenke? Yadier Molina gave a clap back like you wouldn't believe. And yes, I just used the term clap back. It's Overnight America. And if you want to tell me who you think is going to win, are you excited? Or are you just going to sit this Super Bowl out? Are you looking forward to the Rams or does it just inside drive you crazy that they're making it now? It's Overnight America on KMOX. There's a show called Friday Night with Ryan Dempster, a late night style show hosted by the former Cubs pitcher. He brings different guests on. He brought on Chris Bryant, former players. I had to look up them online because I don't really follow baseball. I haven't watched sports in a long time. And really, my only primary sport I paid attention to was hockey. What I noticed was every time they were playing in St. Louis, they get lit up. They had terrible records here. and they have no room to talk, but they start talking trash about St. Louis on the show. Let me play this for you.
Going to Nelly?
Yeah.
How was that?
That was interesting.
Was it hot in there?
It wasn't what I was expecting when I was going there.
Yeah.
I was going to a Florida Georgia Line concert, and
with Nelly.
Nelly's there. I'm like, what is this?
Sick.
What's up, dude? Nice to meet you.
Yeah.
He's a big Cardinals fan, so, but he's cool. Yeah, boo. Yeah, he was trying to work the magic on Bryce.
Yeah,
but
did he have the Band-Aid on?
Who
would want to
play in St. Louis? So boring.
Yeah,
so right. Boring.
So
I always
boring.
Get asked, like, where you like to play, where you not like to play, and ooh, St. Louis is on the place I don't like to play.
Yeah.
It is.
Isn't that funny, though? The longer you play in the division, the more time you play those teams.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, gosh.
You know, I remember when I was getting traded, and they're like, hey, how about St. Louis? I'm like, zero chance in hell. Not, yeah. No way.
No, thank you. Uh-huh. No, thank you.
Won't even go there as a free agent. Yeah, not happening.
Yeah, maybe because when you came here, you got lit up every time. Both of them have terrible records here. But still, Yadier Molina, man, he is something else. You want to talk about someone that saw an opportunity to stand up for the city, and he did. What a leader this guy is. This is what Yadier Molina wrote about those comments. All stars, elite players, and leaders of their teams do not speak bad about any city. There should be respect, and you should play and compete with respect. Only stupid players and losers make comments like the ones made by Bryant and Dempster. Yeah. Oh, man. You can't build a statue for this guy fast enough. Seriously, just start making it right now. I want that statue up before he retires. I know he's on a track to retirement. Get it up now. Start working on it, please. There was someone else that made a comment too, and you can find this article at KMOX.com. Let's see. One person was commenting, wrote, "Cry me a river, loser." Who said that? Who said that? Too much. There's a lot of people. When I go online to Reddit and I look at the St. Louis subreddit, I see a lot of people that are very upset that the Rams are going to the Super Bowl and they're no longer here associated with St. Louis. A lot of people upset. You know what? I do not blame them. They left the city. We didn't leave them as fans. Well, I'm not saying we as in. I'm saying St. Louis as a we. I'm not included in it. It all happened before I got here. Just absolute insanity of how that all went down, honestly. I wish I had more time to talk about this BuzzFeed thing. Maybe let me just talk about it in general. The whole BuzzFeed thing dropped on Thursday. There were people texting in the show, and I talked about it, not really in depth. I addressed it generally on Thursday and said, I do not look at BuzzFeed as an authority. And there were so many problems with this stupid report that came out on Thursday, and it was almost immediately rebuked the next day by about as someone that is high as it gets, someone with the Mueller investigation who makes a official report that, nope, that's a big no on this. So here's the issues that a lot of people had with the story. Jordan Chatol mentioned this online, and I think this is probably the best way to break down this BuzzFeed story. Number one, no document evidence for supposed directive is provided. And then later, even the writers of this article said they saw no evidence themselves. They're taking the word of two people. BuzzFeed sources are 100% anonymous. Michael Cohen is a serial liar. It is not illegal to do business in Russia. Moscow Trump Tower project never got off the ground. So those are the big issues that people have. And Jason Leopold is a serial liar. They also point out he was accused not only of lying, but also plagiarizing times in his career. So they got some issues with the people that wrote it. And it didn't stop the big networks on that Thursday night and the Friday before the Mueller actual statement came out. Someone from the Mueller Association investigation. It didn't take them that long to go in full tilt mode. And man, they were leaning into it. And you know what? I'll give credit to Sean Hannity on his show Friday night. He pointed out just how silly some of these accusations were. Here, listen to Sean Hannity did a quick buzz cut, really. They were playing off the BuzzFeed thing. But he played a couple of the different networks as they were giving their take on this whole BuzzFeed report.
Still no reaction this morning from President Trump to a report that ties him directly to the very same offense for which the House of Representatives moved to impeach Richard Nixon.
That appears that if true, he'd be guilty of suborning perjury, potentially obstruction of justice. It seems like an impeachable offense. It's exactly the kind of thing that drove Richard Nixon from office.
This report is a huge deal. And you know, it's just, these are very credible reporters. We're deep in the realm now of credibly impeachable offenses.
There are an awful lot of similarities between a couple of the articles of impeachment against Nixon and the elements of this story.
The impeachment would actually allow him to at least do what he loves, which is to be a snowflake and pretend he's the victim and the Democrats are this and that. But at the end of the day, I think the impeachment process...
You know, by the way... Okay, I'm just going to stop it there. So this is a cut of all the different networks all wrong on this story. How many times do they have to report on something that turns out to be 100% false over the past 2 years before they realize that maybe taking leads from BuzzFeed is a bad idea? There's been hundreds of documented cases where they put these reports or these predictions out that end up being reported as, oh, the gospel truth. And then what happens? It either busts or discredited or turns out to be completely a lie or speculation or opinion or whatever it is. And over and over and over again, this happens. For the past 2 years, how many times have you heard people in the media and people on the left screaming and yelling, this will be the thing that, oh, they're going to have to open up impeachment because he did this. And then they find out it was all true or all false, excuse me. They find out that none of it was true. They find out it was all false. Network spent 27 minutes on the BuzzFeed story before it was discredited by the Mueller team. Special counsel Robert Mueller had to break precedent, interrupting 20 months of silence to put out a statement on this whole BuzzFeed report. And here's the statement. It said, BuzzFeed's description of specific statements to the special counsel's office and characterization of documents and testimony obtained by this office regarding Michael Cohen's congressional testimony are not accurate. I don't know how else you can put it. Really don't know how else you can put it. And when they spend 27 minutes on this debunked BuzzFeed story, it just adds to the pile of news stories that have been turned out to be false. And the media just continues on hitting the same drum, waiting for the next story, because they hate the man, and they also apparently hate the truth. Let me get to Patrick. Wow, Patrick, calling in one of those late nights for you. How are you?
Well, you know, this is my time to thrive, and greetings here from your nation's capital of Washington,
yeah.
D.C. Yes, we're
there it
14,
is.
14 degrees, buddy. We're in the wind was howling all day.
Just like us. Do you still have the... apartment fortified? You say you were like covering the windows. Did you find ways?
I went out to the house of the county. Yes, I do. I did a very good job of keeping things warm. It is 72 degrees inside here.
Oh, nice.
Yes. We, you know, just all nice and ready for the power to go out. And if it does. So, you know, stuff like that that goes on. It's normal.
So
but
what's
it's
up?
Been up. It's not, you know, hey, look, the shutdown is great for people such as myself because there's less traffic on the road.
Oh, nice. You can
yes,
benefit from this directly.
Oh, you can benefit from it directly, sure. Absolutely, 100%, because, you know, what it does is it puts that murmur really above us locals, and then we just get to go do all these fun things. We had an NHL game on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we got the Wizards that they're over in England. They're playing tomorrow. So it's now really easy to go and do something, especially during a holiday weekend. But, you know, with the government shutdown and the cold gets in here, if you can do it, if you can go out in the cold, you'll have plenty of room to go out.
Yeah, we're about the same temperature right about now. You said you're about 11. We're right there, too, with you.
And so but if you remember last year, this stuff came in on the 18th of December.
Yeah, did you see the big blood moon or whatever it was?
Oh, darn it, I forgot to look. Oh, darn.
Well, you got your windows. It sounds like you got newspapers over your windows so no light can enter. So,
No. This house is very well lit. Let me explain to you. Now, I work with lighting to make sure that there is plenty of light. As a matter of fact, real quick, you know, light has a lot to do with your psychology, they say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you move lamps around, if you always have the same lighting, you may have the same mood. But if you go ahead and you switch the lighting, that lighting does affect your psychology and can affect your mood.
Never heard that.
Yeah, go in the book. So we were going at 3:30. Do we have to do a time and temperature, or shall I keep going for another 20 or 30 seconds?
Well, yeah, we got about, yeah, give me one point of what you're calling in on, and yeah, we got to go.
You got to survive this thing, and I'm going to tell you folks right now that there's too many news people that are here in town, and too many news people are trying to grab your attention. I run into a lot of news people. I mean, there's just a mess of them. There's too many of them. Mm-hmm. Too many trying to get the story across. Too many people trying to be the center of attention. And, you know, these people with this, whatever this BuzzFeed is, has no business playing that type of game to get that kind of attention, because they can get themselves in a big legal trouble.
I hope they do. I do. Yeah. I hope that the end of all of this, not only does it nail BuzzFeed as an inaccurate and a source that shouldn't be taken seriously. I mean, by all honesty, I was looking at some of their other posts on the very same day, which was the things that people do with their food that'll make you throw up or something like that. It was disgusting food stories or whatever. And I thought, great, this is the same news organization and the same feed promoting this article that has already been discredited, but they're standing by. And then the next post that they have is, here's people that put ketchup on things that doesn't deserve ketchup. I don't know why people take them seriously. I don't.
Continuity is very important for me in broadcasting and in radio and in news. And the internet does not necessarily provide continuity. And I like to think that I'm a smart guy, and one of the reasons why I'm a smart guy is I grew up with good radio. So I will always say, step up to radio, don't step back down to the internet and get your head out of your app.
There you go. Good to hear from you, Patrick. Thanks for calling in.
All right, sir.
All right, bye. You know, even the people are starting to go back and say, this is why we get made fun of for being fake news. You know, it's funny that they're becoming self-aware of all the times they've not only got it wrong, but they went a step beyond that, and they didn't even care to get it right. It's just the wrong's par for the course. This is Overnight America, KMOX. Overnight America continues. Going to do this real quick, and in a moment we're going to be joined with Sue Badia on the future of the workplace. What is the modern workplace going to look like? We're going to have Sue join us here in a couple minutes. I wanted to play just one other clip from the Meet the Press that happened. And a lot of commentators are starting to get frustrated by this, that they fell for this BuzzFeed stuff, but they're doing it themselves. There's no one to blame but them for taking a report from BuzzFeed and using it over and over and over and over again. Like the network's 27 minutes on the dubious BuzzFeed Trump story. Here's what how about this? The Daily Caller found that CNN and MSNBC combined for the use of the word impeach regarding the implication of the BuzzFeed news story nearly 200 times on Friday. I mean, there's obviously, and this is supposed to be during the daytime when it's the quote-unquote news, not the commentary. So they use the word over and over and over and over and over and over again from a report that gets debunked during the day Friday. But before that happens, they end up using it nearly 200 times. And on top of that, there's no shame in it. Oh, we're just going off of what could happen if this and that. And this. So that's the news. What could happen, I guess. And a lot of the reporters have come back and said, yeah, we're gonna walk back on some of the statements we made about this report. Chuck Todd even addressed it today. Listen to how they got the tail between the legs, but it's not enough.
The bigger thing is the entire media world.
Yeah.
Okay, and we can all say we did the if-trues, and we said we could not confirm, and that's all true. But let's, you know, it was something that the entire media world was telling the public this is probably true.
Yeah.
By the way, we covered this. Now look.
Well, look, you know, BuzzFeed's gotten a lot of things right, you know, and so let's not forget that. They have had a number of important scoops on this. And
Isn't this funny? So the tail's between the legs, but they still have to try to justify the report. Isn't that nuts? even after the Mueller, the spokesperson for the Mueller investigation comes out, and they still are trying to find ways to lessen the blow to their organization's reputation. My goodness, of all the times and all the reports that have come out to be false over the past 2 years continue to stack up, and this one you can put right back on top, they're still playing this game.
I think there was some, you know, credibility, it seemed like, on the front end to what they were saying, but our people weren't able to confirm it the way it was reported, and I think that gave us, obviously, a lot of pause, and it should. The problem is, in the old days, you know, when one media organization's competitor got something wrong, you kind of would sit back and say, well, we didn't.
Yeah.
Now, unfortunately, it blow back on all of us. We all own all of the media, in effect, and anybody gets anything wrong, it's used as a weapon and a cudgel against all of us and against all of the thousands of other stories that Heidi just mentioned.
It's not used against all of you. It's used against the ones that fell for it, you included. So don't act like NBC was immune to this whole story and they were the ones that ignored it altogether. Nope, they didn't ignore it. They leaned into it. So let me go back and see how much they led and leaned into it. Let's see. ABC led the way 10 minutes, 32 seconds between Good Morning America and World News Tonight. Close behind was NBC. They spent 10 minutes and 5 seconds during NBC Nightly News in the Today Show on the Cohen claims. They spend 10 minutes and 5 seconds on it. So as they try to distance themselves, oh, it's not all of us. Well, you were part of the problem. Own up to it. And the fact that it's happened over and 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 over the past 2 years, how many times have you heard, well, this will be the thing, that the president will be impeached, over and over and over. They're trying to set the tone. They're trying to set the narrative. And that is explicit bias by these news networks and the editors that are putting these things together and the commentators that go out and do this over and over and over again. When will people that listen to these guys say to themselves, well, maybe they're not right. Maybe they're not right about all of this. How many times do they have to get discredited before that happens? I don't know. This is Overnight America, KMOX. Joining us now is the founder and chairwoman of the St. Louis-based Rose International, Sue Battia. Thank you so much for coming on to KMOX.
Thank you, Ryan. It's a pleasure to be here.
You're headquartered here in St. Louis, and just recently you were named one of the best places to work, not only in the St. Louis metropolitan area, but also the state of Missouri. So congratulations on that.
Thank you, Ryan. We're very proud of that and certainly want to, again, next year, be one of the best places to work. We take a lot of pride in making sure that we create an environment that our people, our employees thrive at.
I guess maybe I can ask you that. How do you create an environment where you become one of the best places to work?
Well, a lot of it is people having their own creativity, wanting to thrive and grow in areas that, you know, they may not have imagined that they would be. So the careers aren't really that defined year after year. We as a company are growing rapidly, significantly. So with that, our team has a lot of opportunities personally to grow their career. And there's a lot of opportunities for them to grow into roles that they may have never done before. And, you know, if they're interested and motivated, there's ample opportunity within the company.
You know, there's probably a lot of people right now that may be working for the government that are thinking to themselves, maybe it's time I start thinking about another career path. It's very frustrating, the things that could be going on when you're personnel that's required to work, but then you look at your bank account and you don't get a paycheck after all the hours you put in. So I'm sure there's people that are looking towards the future and how they want to handle their future when it comes to their employment. What do you think 2019 holds, and what do you think the future of the workplace looks like?
So I feel the future of work is very bright right now. There's a lot of jobs, new jobs that are going to be open and available as the baby boomers retire in the next year or so. There's going to be a total of 55 million jobs, out of which 24 million are newly created, and 31 million are the ones that the baby boomers are retiring from. So overall, there's going to be a lot of opportunities and new roles available in the workforce.
Yeah. You know, and you also look at, with Rose International, You work with a lot of employers, and I think one of the stats I saw, 40% of its employees are minorities and companies that have spent money with minority business enterprises. So you put some priority, too, into diversity inside of the workplace.
It's very important to us to have a diverse workplace to reflect the changing demographics of the country we live in. And it's also very important to make sure women are able to thrive and grow their careers within the organization. So we are total in our workforce, 65, close to 65% of our employees are women, mm-hmm. and 40% are minorities.
Right. And two, just this past week, I interviewed KAI Design and Build. I don't know if you're familiar with them in the area, but they're also a minority business enterprise. They've been around for a while. They designed the prison downtown here in St. Louis and all the Metrolink stations when they were building that. Some pretty high-profile government projects that they've worked on out here. And they talked about the importance of that sort of thing and how that really helped them and some of the initiatives that helped them thrive as a company. And I wanted to also look at, too, the embracing the future of work. So how do you see the work in general changing over the years? Because people are afraid that robots are going to take their jobs. They're afraid that they're going to get phased out of whatever they're doing now and cheaper labor is going to come in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's always, when there's so much uncertainty, there's certainly a lot of fear that comes along with that. But really, it's an age of massive digital transformation, which brings so much change with it. It brings a lot of opportunity. So I think that that's what people need to focus on, the fact that it may look scary, but they need to look for the opportunity that comes along with that. So if you're in the banking sector, let's say, you just want to make sure that you understand what is the technology that is disrupting the banking industry and be familiar with that technology. For example, blockchain is one disruptive technology in that area. So if I was in banking, I would make sure that I understand that by taking courses that are available free online in sites like Coursera, in edX. So there's a lot of free information and training available if you are a self-learner. Mm-hmm. And that way you're not caught flat-footed when sweeping changes happen within your industry. You already have the domain knowledge. You understand the business aspect because you've been in the industry for many years. But if you familiarize yourself with technology within your industry, then you become more valuable.
Yeah. You know, forward. Sue Bedia, founder and chairwoman of the St. Louis-based Rose International. I also wanted to ask you about the White House Economic Summit. I understand you were invited to participate. You wanted to look at some of the issues that are facing small businesses. What are some of those issues that small businesses are facing?
Well, that was a great opportunity. I really did enjoy being there with other small business leaders. And, you know, a couple of things that are important right now that businesses are enjoying is less regulation and better tax reform. Those are two things that are helping. And the consumer confidence is an all-time high, which is really helping the economy go full speed ahead at this point. So businesses are right now hiring everywhere. We hired just in the last year alone 10,000 people in 2018, and so for us as well, it's really a good time for businesses to take this opportunity of digital transformation, using new and latest technologies, and also taking advantage of some of the economic advantages that are out there.
Yeah. You're also projecting, too, in the future that there's going to be new jobs that will be created, things that aren't actually available right now. So as opposed to maybe someone's looking for a job and they're waiting to replace someone that's moved on or whatever, retired, as opposed to that, there's just new jobs in new industries that are coming up all the time. There's job creation happening right now, which is pretty encouraging.
It is. You know, take this statistic, 65% of children entering elementary school today, they will be doing a job that doesn't even exist today.
Wow.
That's how fast things are changing. So new jobs are being created, new roles that nobody's even thought of or heard of.
Yeah, and what kind of jobs, if let's say there's someone listening that has a kid that may be in that high school level and they're still trying to figure out what they want to do with their life, like every other high school student, what kind of things would you say to encourage them to help them figure out what they want to do?
Well, technology is certainly a key going forward. I think it's important that people are very, very familiar with that. In 2020, which is just a year and a half, 2 years from now, it's predicted that there will be 1.4 million computer specialist job openings, and colleges are only going to be providing or graduating students to fill 30% of those jobs. Mm. 70% jobs will remain unfilled. So that's a huge opportunity for people that are inclined towards technology. Mm-hmm. They don't have to be a math whiz to get into computer science. There are areas that interface with technology that require a lot of different skills, like emotional intelligence, working within teams. So those are skills that will require analysis to get all these computer systems in place, which are not heavy programming. So, you know, depending on your aptitude, I think that there's a lot of opportunity in the STEM field that people aren't really utilizing.
Hmm. You know, what if you're an adult and you want to change careers? So what kind of advice would you give to them?
Well, if you're an adult, it's, you know, technology isn't that complicated anymore. Hmm. When I learned programming language, which was 30 years ago, it was very cryptic, very hard to code, and you had to sit in front of a screen and code for long hours. Now, technology has changed. Artificial intelligence and many other languages have come that are very simple to use. For example, Python, that is a programming language that isn't hard to learn. So if you're curious about programming, you could just learn that on your own and, you know, increase your marketability and be open to other job opportunities that otherwise you may not have been. Now, going forward, the jobs that will be more in demand will be things like regulatory affairs or data analysis, government relations. Human resources is something that will never be taken over by computers. That will be in demand all the time. Product designers, marketing. So IT and math related, we already talked about that. So there's plenty of jobs that will stay in demand. The skills that you're going to need more and more in the next 2 years are going to be things like complex problem solving and critical thinking, as well as creativity in your work. If you are in some sort of a design area, your creativity is important. Computers can never do that. And people management, that stays as an important skill. Emotional intelligence, we already talked about that. That's, you know, being aware of your own emotions and reading when you're interacting with people, just to be able to calibrate a conversation intelligently by gauging the other's emotions and language, really. So that's something that you can calibrate as a human, but computers can never take that over.
Interesting. You know, when I was in high school, I learned BASIC. That was one of the programming languages that were pretty popular back then before a lot of these other ones came around. And even today, my son has this little toy called a Dash. Have you seen those little robots?
I have not.
Oh, they're so cool. So they're these little blue robots, and they got the wheels on them. But the idea is it introduces computer coding to kids. So they have an app that you put on your iPad or whatever, and you teach it basic functions to get the robot to do whatever you want it to do. You know, you get it to dance or change colors or move a certain way or wait till interact with something. And my kid loves playing with this thing. And it basically, it helps him get to the idea of how things flow with each other, how to do things in a certain order, and he can't get enough of it. So there's all kinds of things that they're teaching kids how to code. Definitely check that out. That little Dash thing is so cool. So there's things.
That sounds amazing.
Oh, there's a lot of great things that are being introduced to kids today because they realize that's going to be an important function for them in the future. Even if it's not a coding future to them, just the logistics, the way to think differently, the way to think like that is an important way to kind of expand your thought process. So how about this? Sue Batia, founder and chairwoman of St. Louis-based Rose International. People want to check out what you're doing, or maybe they want to look at a new career path. How can they find you?
So we have on our website thousands of jobs, openings that we are always looking to hire in. So people can go to our website, which is www.roseit.com, R-O-S-E-I-T.com. And on our website, there's a lot of information, what kind of jobs and roles we are looking to hire, as well as information about the company and our customers, our story, our history. Everything is over there. So please visit that and reach out to us. You never know that we might have the perfect dream job for you.
No, you never know. Really, that's how it works. You got to look. Sue Battia, founder and chairwoman of St. Louis-based Rose International, right out of Chesterfield there. Thank you so much for joining us on Overnight America.
Thank you, Ryan.
Kind of a fascinating look on the Quiver River Electric guest line. Well, that does it for us here tonight on Overnight America. Feel free to join us again tomorrow night. Blues play a day game, so we're back on at 10. You can reach me on Twitter at Ryan Recker. Or if you want to download the podcast, do that. Even better yet, subscribe to the podcast. Oh, we would love for you to interact with us that way. Just look for us wherever you get your podcast, Overnight America. We'll see you tomorrow.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.